Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. Having a little bit of drainage in my throat, so it may sound a little different this morning, but I welcome you from WDLP building at 7 o'clock. We're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you have tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these services, these broadcasts, live by the way of the web. We had our Christmas party, and my wife and I really enjoyed that. And so a thank you to the station owners for the celebration that we had on last Sunday afternoon. Some of you tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com. Click on Media Stories for my radio broadcast. To listen, just click on the arrow to download. If you know how to do that, you're more than welcome to do that as well. I have a little trouble yet with the other area that I was using. For Sermon Cloud is not working right yet, so we just have to keep seeing what's going on there. But what a privilege it is for me to share with you. We welcome you to our Christmas messages. This morning, our message is going to be entitled God's Invitation to Celebrate the Baby Jesus and to Worship Him. And what a privilege that is for each one of us. Well, I need to say thank you to the sponsors that I have that helps take care of the radio cost of materials and all those things that I have to have. And so I got some new sponsors, and I'll start with the new sponsors this morning. Thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, who always went by the name of Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans, Michigan, and I appreciate Gloria's financial support. Also to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, I thank you for your support. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thanks again for your support. And a big thank you also to Marie Yvard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. And to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from Greenville. Appreciate those folks that have picked up the support that we need to take care of the broadcast time. A big thank you to Kay and King Singer for selecting our music for our broadcast time. As the message is being sent out this morning, this evening at Shiloh Community Church's campground, you just come to Long Lake Road. Instead of going west towards the church, you go east towards Palo, and we'll be having our live nativity is tonight at 6:30. If you want to come and join us, we'd be glad to have you at 6:30, and that will be a special time of going through the live nativity scene. At the same time, I want to give you an invitation to attend the Shiloh Church, and on this Sunday service, there's just one service, and that is at 10 o'clock. And then there's a service in Greenville at the old Lutheran Church on M91 by the new McDonald's up in that area on that Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of all the things I need to say at this particular time concerning the chores, as I call them, that we need to get done and get into the broadcast time. And as we do, we're going to begin with a song, and this song is some children singing. Today, we're going to be looking at the wise men, and sometimes they were called kings. And so the children's going to get us started with just a short little song about the idea of the kings and coming as they were traveling and all the things that was going on in their life. So we'll just take a listen, and just as we do, we'll just ask the Lord to bless our hearts together in a very special time.
Silver City God.
Well, there we go, folks. That's the message from the little children sharing with us that wise men were following that light and asking for guidance from that light to take them to the one, the Lord Jesus. And what a privilege that was to have that part of the story in the Christmas message. And we want to take a look at that this morning and maybe pick up some things that will help us in our individual life. But before we do, I just want to pray for the listening audience. I just want to especially say to all the listening audience this morning, including the station owners and so on, is a Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And God's richest blessing be upon your life, but not only on your life, but you and your family, that God would bless you in a very special way. Well, let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you. Thank you that I have the opportunity to share this broadcast time this morning, and I just ask your special blessing to be upon the ones that are listening this morning. Dear Father, we want to pray. I call them our listening audience. And Father, even though I can't see them, there's people that say to me every time I'm in any public place that they listen, and I'm so glad for that. But I want to pray for them especially this morning that they would have a very Merry Christmas. And the message this morning would be a source of encouragement to them in their family situations and whatever they're going through. Father, I don't know what they've been going through this past week. Some are having physical problems. Some are having some emotional problems. Some are having financial problems. There's so many difficulties in our life, and some has just been a real special blessing this week. Something special has happened, and that's something that they're rejoicing in. And so I just pray that you would bless the listening audience. Meet their every need according to your will. And Father, those that's listening as they drive on to church this morning, wherever they attend, I ask your blessing to be upon them and their church and minister to them in a very special way as well. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, we'll take a look at our message this morning, but you know, a couple of days ago or so, someone had told me, Pastor, we listen to you as we drive to our church, and we almost sometimes we sit in the parking lot and listen a little more before we go in. And so those of you that do that, I thank you for doing that, even though you don't get the whole program. But if you want to listen, you can finish it up. Well, you can come back to my website, as I mentioned at the first, PastorKenHarger.com. Well, the message today, everything according to the birth of the baby Jesus, calls for a time of celebration. Even in our world today, everything that is surrounding the Christmas season, such as decorations, lights, music, laughter, thoughts of home, family, and friends, calls for a time of celebration. This season and this time of the year, we ought to be at a time that we're thinking about the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of this baby Jesus was given about 700 years before he was born, predicted in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And the one that I like the best, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David over his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I got to tell you, when the zeal of the Lord of hosts goes to work, he does a beautiful job. I got to tell you, folks, I love the Christmas story. There's one song that we'll probably be playing at the close of our service, if we can. The idea that this story never grows old. It's got so much to offer to each and every one of us. And even though you've heard it many times, I was thinking as I was getting the service ready, this is my 60th Christmas to spend at Shiloh. So for 50 years as a pastor, I've been speaking Christmas message. Been retired 10 years, and I'm still doing my radio broadcast. So I've been talking about this story of Christmas for 60 years. And I got to tell you, I still enjoy it so much each and every time that I go through that Christmas story and what it means. So this is a message of celebration, a time of celebration, because God has been so good to us. And God has put together a plan that is beautiful. A human couldn't figure a plan like this. And God has put a plan together, and we're going to tell the story of the birth of Jesus. And then, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of the life and death of Jesus and the resurrection and a hope that we have because of that. And that story needs to be told, and that story is important. That story, as I say, needs to be told. And so I have a privilege to do that with you starting this morning. Notice how personal it was when God started telling us the story way back there in the book of Isaiah. For unto us, that's you and I, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Child is born in the normal, natural way. Only difference was that there was no father involved. It was the Holy Spirit, the creator of God, the creator of creation, who was working with God, the Father and the Son. They were working together to bring about this beautiful child. And unto us this child is given, but unto us a son is given. For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son. And we need to realize that's something that is very special. And I think it's something we need to hang on to. I think the idea of what God is trying to get us to see is that we need to understand it takes a time of celebration. When I think about these kind of things, I think for Bev and I and for Dad, for being a dad and those kind of things, the privilege of being a parent, how special that is. For you see, I can say unto us, to Bev and I, there was born 5 children. Unto us as a family, this one Jesus was born unto our family. I can even go further and say, you know what? This one was born unto all mankind, wherever they are, wherever they live, whatever the situation of their life. The same message was delivered by the angels at the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And the angels said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great news. Now listen to this. That for shall be for all people. It's for the whole human race that this one Jesus is born. And he was born 2,000 years ago, but he's born for us here in 2018. The message is the same. This Christ was born for you and I today in the age that we're a part of. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. God has been so good to us, folks. This beautiful Christmas story is teaching us. It's for everyone. If it's not for everyone, then it's not for no one. We need to get a hold of the truth that this Savior was born to come into this world, and the message was to be shared with all people. Remember, that's what God told us. For God so loved the world. God loved everyone. And it's just a blessing for us to realize that no matter where they are, no matter what age they are, any person on planet Earth today, God would be saying to you, I loved you so much that I gave you my son, Jesus. And Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life upon that cross to give you the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. That's the message of Christmas. And that needs to be celebrated because it's worth being celebrated because of the importance that it offers to each one of our lives as an individual. As an individual, this message is like directed right to you. It's to you as an individual. God's invitation is to celebrate the baby Jesus and to worship him. Have you ever heard the phrase, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform? Somebody says, that sounds like Bible, that sounds like scripture. You may say, is that scripture verse? Well, I did a searching for all I could search through all my computer and all my Bible things that I have. Cannot find that verse. Can find some verses that say something similar to that. You know, I found out that it came from a poem written by a man by the name of William Cowper. And later the verse was put into a song. And the verse in the song, and the song's message was, God moves in mysterious ways. And the verse goes like this, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in the unfathomed minds of never-failing scale, he fastened up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Well, he does do that. And it is important for us to know that God does do things a little differently than you and I would do it. This Christmas message is put together by God. The story of the birth of Jesus Christ has not been written by man. It's been planned and designed and organized, and the people he had that became a part of that story is a message to each one of us that God loves us all. And he wanted to bring this message to us, and he brought it in several different ways. As a Christian, I can say I do not find this verse in the Bible that says God moves in mysterious ways. But I can share from my heart to yours, I've often had that thought that God does things so much differently than you and I may think it should have been done. Think with me from one of the Old Testament stories that I've always liked as they marched around the city of Jericho. God told them each day they were supposed to go and march around the city of Jericho. And so they did. And then he said, as it came to this time, he said, now this time, as the last time you're going to march around the city of Jericho, I want you to not only march once, but I want you to march seven times around the city of Jericho. Now, those walls on that city, sometimes the scripture reminds us of this, as it says they were wide enough to turn a chariot and a horse around on the top of those walls. So it wasn't a little, 2-foot wall. It was big, huge wall. And God says, march around the seventh time, and the seventh time you give a shout and so on. And he said, the walls will come tumbling down. Now, what do you say, God? That's the way we're going to conquer this city? Those people did in obedience what God said, and you know the stories there in the book for us to know. Those walls did come tumbling down. And I don't know, have no proof for that, but it just makes sense. Somebody said the walls didn't come tumbling down like you might think, falling outwardly. The walls came tumbling down, falling inwardly, because outwardly it would have killed the people of Israel. And so we realize God does move in mysterious ways, even though it's not a scripture. It is a true saying, God does move. And I love the story. I love the way God delivered the story. I love the way he delivered his son into our world and into my heart. Only God, the author of this story, when I think that when mankind was celebrating, When I think about when God created this world, he created all adult people. But when God wanted to tell you and he wanted to tell me, I love you, he sent a little baby. I believe that that is a sight of God that overwhelms his greatness in my thinking. God is a great and mighty God. And yet he's put together the simplest of story to tell us about sending his one and only son into our world. When I think that God wanted to share the birth of Jesus with some very wise men, they spent a lot of time looking at the stars. And they traveled a long way, and it took them almost 2 years to get there to be able to see the baby Jesus. And in the book of Matthew 2:2, where they ask this question, where is the one that has been born King of the Jews? I want you to hang on to that word, born king of the Jews. He wasn't going to become king of the Jews. He was born king of the Jews. Now listen to what it says. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Join me tomorrow, join me a little later, as we talk about this birth of this one, the Lord Jesus, and what he offers to each one of our lives in such a special way for us to get a hold of the things that God wants us to get a hold of, to be an encouragement to our life. God has been good to us, and we're going to learn now from the life of the wise men and their journey that they traveled. Took them almost 2 years to get there. And when they traveled so far, and how God directed their traveling by the star, and then he directed their traveling by the word of God. We'll get into that in just a moment, but just think with me, folks. It's a beautiful story. And I trust in your life it has never grown old. As you hear it talked about and sung about, that it would be an encouragement to your life. Every time we hear this baby Jesus' message, coming as a baby, you see what's so marvelous about that is that God became flesh. He wanted to live amongst us. And what's so special about that is he wants us to seek to know him. That's what I want to share next from the wise men. That's one of the lessons that I think I want to learn from the wise men. Their desire to seek him and to find. Not just to seek God. Not just to seek this baby Jesus. But they were determined to find him. I believe we need to be seeking after God. That means be looking for God. You know, one of the things I remembered from a long time ago, Billy Graham had been mentioned this in one of his messages when I was just a young man. When they sent the first rockets up into space, and the Russians had done some of it, and they were first to do it or whatever, and anyway, when it came back, they said they looked all over for God, and they couldn't find God. They couldn't find God. And Billy Graham's statement was, if they would have got outside of the rocket ship, they would have found God immediately. And we don't want to wait to that time of death to find God. We should be seeking to know him now. When I look at the stars and see the wonder of God's creation, when I look at the stars and see the beauty of all this world around us, God has been so good to us, and he declares his great power. Well, there is a promise given in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah 29:11-14. For surely, God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm to you, to give you a future with hope. Know what he said? I know I got plans for you. And my plans for you is for your future. And my plans for you is to give you hope. Now listen to the next part of the verse. That when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek for me with all of your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. God's saying, you know what? This seeking business is something that we need to get a hold of. You see, I think we're living in a period of time right now when men are not seeking after God. God's still seeking after us. And there'll be things in our lives when we look back at it and see that God never took his hand off of us as a human person, that he loves us that much. We see, we need to understand that that's something that was necessary back in the Old Testament, and that was something that was necessary for these wise men. We see this promise fulfilled as when we see that the wise men came seeking, and I believe they came seeking with their entire heart because they wanted to do as God's Bible said. They wanted to find, not just to seek, but to find. And that's something to get a hold of. Matthew 2:1-7. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was born the King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And when he gathered together all the chief priests, the religious people of that day, the scribes, and God, all the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Though they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come the ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod secretly asked him when the star appeared, because they were determined to find him. About how long they've been traveling is what he's really asking. That's the message of the wise men seeking until they find. Are you seeking God this morning? Do you want to find God in your life? I love it the way he said it in the Old Testament time there in Jeremiah. When you seek me with all your heart. I like the way it says it too. I'll let you find me, says the Lord. I like that. Seek for me and I'll let you find me. These wise men left their home. They traveled for almost 2 years seeking the one that was born the King of the Jews. I think they put us to shame. How much effort have we put into seeking this one, Jesus? Their search had led them to Jerusalem. That was the religious center of the world at that time. It led them to King Herod and to the priests and to the scribes. And they inquired in the word of God and they found it was to be Bethlehem. Even though Bethlehem was a very small place, they found it to be Bethlehem. And you know, I think we need to understand, I believe that all that they got, as what happened in their lives as they went seeking, they were going to find. And we need to know that that's exactly what God promises. But I want you to remind you of something the Bible teaches us. And it teaches us for our own understanding and purpose. The Lord Jesus, when he was born, in Luke chapter 19:10, as an adult, he said, The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. I think you and I need to understand that Christmas, the celebration, is to seek Jesus. The journey of seeking him, the journey of coming to know him. But the celebration begins when you find him. That's what is going to happen here to these wise men. But we're going to take a little break, and we're going to listen to a song that I have really liked. I shared it on my Facebook page, and it's a song that says, coming from Joseph's mindset, so to speak, God chose a strange way to save the world. God does move in mysterious ways to bring about his results that he wants. And God wants us to know that he moves in those mysterious ways because that's something that is very special. So let's listen in as we get a hold of this message where God is sharing the idea of something for each one of our lives in such a special way that Joseph is saying, Why me? Why Mary? Why did this happen? What's God's mind? What's got God in mind?
Let's listen in. Surprise at where this road had taken them, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. Joseph said, Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world, why here? inside this stable filled with hay. Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say. Think of how it could have been if he had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. As he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? And why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. Second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way to save.
Such a strange way to save the world. And that's true. Such a strange way. It's God's plan. It's God's story. It's God's purpose for you and I. You know, when I think about this idea of the strange way that he chose, I like what is in that song when it says, why me? Why Mary? Why a manger? Why? You and I need to say that to God this morning because he loved us so much. We can say, why me? Why would God love me that much? Why would God love you that much? It's such a strange way to get into the lives of us as human beings. But what a beautiful way. And like I said in that song, I'm not going to second guess God. Not the message that he's shared with us. He's telling us it's for all people. And he wanted all people to be able to understand. Just like you and I were born into this world. There was a time when there was a baby Jesus born into this world. So we can identify with him and identify with what he's done and what he's doing for each and every one of us. But let's continue on with the shepherds. I believe there's some more for us to learn. I believe they came, these wise men came. I said the shepherds a moment ago, but these wise men came. I believe they came giving, and I believe they came obeying. So they were seeking, they were giving, and they were obeying. Listen to it in the Word of God. And he sent them, King Herod, to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for this young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they come into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their gifts, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country in another way. The wise men learned from God's word the place of Jesus' birth was Bethlehem. But they don't know exactly where in Bethlehem. When the king left them go, he said, "Behold the star." "Behold," they said, "the star was right there." You see, the star disappeared to bring us to the word of God. And now the word of God tells us where. And now to these wise men, the star reappears. And there they were, and they always rejoice and be glad, because they knew they was getting close to finding, and they seen that star. That reminds me that there must have been some time that the star disappeared, but it brought them to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem. And then from there, God led them the next step to get into the Word of God and find where it was. And we find when that had happened, all of a sudden there was the star again. And you know what? That star was like a GPS. It led him to the very house that Jesus was in. I love the response of the wise men when they saw the young child. They were excited when they saw the star. But when they saw the young child, I love what they did. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Grown men worshiping a young child. That's the power of God, folks. Something inside of them let them know this is God's Son. I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about in each one of our lives. They fell down and they worshiped him. Sad when I think that some people take the name of Jesus Christ and it's just done in a vain way. And I'm not being angry towards those people that do that. I think that's very difficult to listen to when somebody takes the name of Jesus Christ in a vain way, when he's come precious to me. But I need to remind you, he only becomes precious to us when we bow down before him, when we accept the work that he has done for us, not only in his birth, but his death. I hope I'll say this many more times yet through Christmas time. You know what? I've always liked saying this statement when I was preaching at Shiloh. I love the idea of the manger, but I don't worship the manger. I worship the baby that is lying in the manger. That's the wood in Jesus' life. I don't worship the cross, the second wood in Jesus' life. I don't worship the cross, but I worship the Jesus of the cross. And then they presented gifts as they fell down. They presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. A part of the celebration that was the first Christmas was the wise men gave gifts. And these gifts were valuable, and these gifts have a purpose. And I want to talk about that next before we leave this story of the wise men. But they worshiped, and then they obeyed. Remember, King Herod said, "Come and tell me so I can go and worship him too." Oh, yeah, King Herod showed later on in his life what kind of worship he wanted to do as he had every boy baby killed 2 years old and under. The wise men were wise men as not only in seeking Jesus, but they were wise men in being obedient because they had a dream. And in the dream, God says, "Go back another way." And all of a sudden they returned to their own homeland. But they returned with the fact that they had been seeking and they had found. I believe that was life-changing for those dear wise men. I believe that's life-changing, has been life-changing for me. And I believe that'll be life-changing for you. when we seek and when we find this one Jesus. And when we come to understanding of the idea that I want to worship him, I want to give gifts to him, but more than that, I want to be obedient to the things that he tells me. I love this story, but also I got to tell you, folks, there's some sad parts of this story. The gifts that they gave, that they brought, spoke of Jesus. The first gift that was mentioned was gold. And gold is often associated with two things in the Bible, divinity, divineness, and kingship. Remember when those wise men came, they said, "Where is he that was born the king of the Jews?" The second gift, the gift that they gave to them, was frankincense. It's attained by cutting the bark on a certain spice tree. The most popular use for that in the Bible was for burning incense by the priest. And it's talking to us and showing to us, even though they didn't know it perhaps, the priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus. That the Bible tells us that right now we have a great high priest that's passed up into the heavens. He's seated right at the Son of God. And it's telling us that he's able to make intercession for us because he has been tried in every way you and I were tried. And he was without sin. So he's saying, I want you to hold fast then to your Christian faith. I want you to hold fast to this idea of walking with Jesus. The third gift was myrrh. And myrrh is like a gum-like residue. Comes like the frankincense is. It's obtained from a bushy type of tree. In the Bible, it's most often associated with the suffering and death. The gift of myrrh symbolizes the suffering and death that Jesus went facing his life and in his death. At the time of his burial, there came Nicodemus, a man came from Jesus, who came to Jesus by night. He brought a mixture, it says, of myrrh and alloys. About 100 weight of those spices to prepare the body of Jesus for his burial. Also later on that first Easter Sunday morning, the ladies came and they were carrying with them all kinds of spices, but they found that Jesus had been resurrected. And I got to tell you, folks, I love that these gifts were provided for Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. Because I believe one of the main things was is that it was going to be the resources they needed in order to maintain their physical life. Just think, we don't know how much gold and spices the wise men brought, but they were the very expensive things. It would give an income for them because they would be leaving the land of Egypt because of Herod's damage that he's going to do. They would be leaving the land of Egypt. And they would be going to the land of Egypt, rather, and then they'd be returning to the land of Egypt. So they had some expenses coming up. And I just believe the wise men helped provide for those expenses during that period of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus' life. But I got to close on one sad note. Because Christmas, as beautiful as it is, and Christmas is celebration as it is, and the joy that this one brings into our world, we realize that this one Jesus was born into a world where there was a lot of hatred, a lot of difficulty. I believe there's sadness because of the difficult things that were going on in people's life. And you know, I think God was satisfied that this one Jesus was willing to come into the world. But you know, I also believe that when you think of Jesus being the God the Father, the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the angels in heaven, when you think of them being together in eternity past, and now all of a sudden one of them's going to be leaving, I believe it gave great joy because God so loved the world, he gave his son. But at the same time, I think it was bittersweet for heaven and bittersweet for God the Father and the Holy Spirit to see this one Jesus lay aside all that he had with them, and to choose to become one like us. We see the change. We change our focus to King Herod and the sadness that he caused in the world. Then when Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became furious and he sent an order to kill all the male children in Bethlehem, all those that reigned that were 2 years or younger, according to the time he had asked the wise men when they first saw the star. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken way back in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, where God said, "When you seek for me, a voice was heard in Ramoth, weeping and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more." All of those boy babies that died at that period of time, all of those boy babies that went through the thing of death, even though we were celebrating the birth of a boy baby. How sad it was in them homes there in Bethlehem, 2 years after Jesus was born. How sad it was that the boy babies were killed and the pain was gone through that entire city of Bethlehem because of the jealousy of a king called Herod, who didn't want him to be a king of the Jews. He was king. And as a result, damage was done to others. Hurt was brought into the homes wherever there was a baby boy that was 2 years old or younger. They were put to death. That just reminds me, folks, this Christmas season 2018 isn't going to be without pain. Isn't going to be without sorrow. Isn't going to be without some grieving. Some of the grieving comes because maybe some families has been fractures. And the family won't all be together because the family isn't together. And some under the hearing of my voice, you know that pain because that's what you're experiencing this Christmas season. That some of them are choosing not to be together with one another, even though they're family. And if you're one that's choosing that, I would surely encourage you to think about it twice. The Christmases are limited. There's only a certain amount of time we get to share with those special people that we call family or friends. But then there's another kind of pain. It's the pain because there's been death in 2018. Since January, in 9 months, so to speak, as we got to 10th month to go. There's 12 months in a year, I know that, but I was going to Florida for 6 weeks and to Wisconsin for two. So I've been gone 2 months from this area. And I got to tell you, folks, by myself, I conducted, just for my, not counting the other pastors, 91 funerals this year. I know for a fact that there's going to be 91 families that I know, that I did the ministering to, that are not going to have somebody with them. It's going to be their first Christmas without their loved one. And that brings sadness. That brings sadness. Because it's hard to go through that. But I want to remind you that I've went through that. My wife and I have went through that. And we realize there's pain in that suffering. But I believe at the same time that God is reminding us that the pain that all of us may go through because of the death of a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a child, that you're going to make it. It will get better. It'll take some time. And I wanted to share this for you because of this reason. Every holiday, I make it a point to pray. I want to pray for those that this holiday, rather was this Thanksgiving a little while ago. Now I'm praying for those of the Christmas holiday that will realize that some of them, it's their first holiday without their loved one. And that's going to be very difficult. So my prayer goes out to you. And a big hug from God to you. Because I believe the hug from God is that he's got a story to tell us. And this story is wonderful. And this story is beautiful. But this story that this Christ was born unto you, to your family in your time of difficulty. He was born unto you as an individual. And we need to realize that that's something special that comes into our life. So we're going to listen to a song in closing that says that it's the story that will never grow old. Never grow old. And we want to remember that. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Here we go.
As we celebrate the season, sometimes we lose the joy or forget the reason why. But holding the foundation of our earthly celebration is the story of a king who came to die. It still warms the heart to know that he would leave his glory to become the greatest story ever told. That we used to know are gone, but the story of the Savior is as real today as ever, and throughout eternity it shall live on.